guests. I'm going to introduce them in just a moment. But if you will stand with me as we read our scripture reading together. If you have your bulletins, you can find that in the inside of your bulletin, or you can follow along. Actually, I don't know if we have it on the screen. I didn't do a PowerPoint, so if y'all have that, we can do that. But we'll be reading from Acts 15, 3 through 4. Let's begin. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. Amen. You may be seated, and we dismiss our children this morning for Children's Church. Most of you know that we have been supporting some missionaries. This is the only foreign missionaries that we do support at this time. But we've been supporting them now for at least 2 years, maybe going on three. It's been two and a half years, something like that. We met them.
This is really interesting. So now Norman and I are working through a system to make make the slide advancing thing go. So if we run into a hiccup, just be patient with us. But we think, thanks to Norman here, I think we have it. We have it set. So,
we're visual, so we think it helps other people to have a visual.
So I've discovered that the laser pointer doesn't really work on this screen. Okay, it works there on the rock, but not on the screen. So I'm just going to be back and forth pointing, okay? So Africa. Okay, so also, let's back up. The last 5 years, we had also started slowly going to Africa. Our daughter had a calling to go there, and so we ended up beginning to go there with a Jewish believer. So we're in Israel, but our neighbor was a Jewish believer. There's less than 1% of believers, Jewish and Arab, in Israel. Okay, 0.2%. Okay, but we're next door to a believer, and she had been going with her husband for many years, and then from Israel to Africa, and then her husband died in a plane crash. She invited us.
It's making a noise.
Right? Okay, sorry. She invited us.
Like 300 feet high.
We make it to another. There's a hospital like right below us here. If you can see, this is where the university is. This is actually our house right there, and we're going to be talking a lot about orphans, and they're right up there.
When we say university, we're talking a very humble university. They have, you know, dirt floors and mud walls.
It's accredited by the country.
Yeah, it's accredited, but and they use the same facility as the elementary and secondary schools.
Okay. The UN has like three vehicles, okay? The lady that originally took us up there to work, she's lives over this way, and she's got four-wheel drive, but that's it for vehicles up there. So it's very quiet. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you can see I have this one up to kind of show you the fact that it's all where we're at, and thankfully because we have to walk, everything's within from our place to the university. Here's our spring, by the way. So that's where we go for fresh water. Okay. And so so we don't have running water. We have carried water. Okay.
Well, I say we do have running water. It comes on the heads of the little ladies as they run.
If they have to run.
They're amazing, these women.
So we basically walk from here to there for water, from here to here to the university, and from there wrap around to the orphans place. The orphans, it takes us, and we'll explain that we work
it's
with them.
Kind of the center of our work up there.
That's 15-minute walk. So, okay.
So I've been dragging my feet getting to Congo, even though I'm the one that went first with my daughter and a small team and been there a few times more than Michael. I love it, the people. But I have to be honest, you know, the setting is very rural and it's very isolated. I'm the only woman that speaks English up there. Michael has a few of the young teachers that speak English. But it's how I've had to learn Swahili much faster. But the living situation is very difficult. We were staying at the school when we would go up for weeks at a time, even a couple months at a time. I've been there a few times. And so, you know, no flush toilets, no squatties, and, you know, no running water, no electricity, things like that. When it's light from 6 in the morning till 6 at night, and then it's dark, and you have headlamps to operate and move around and so on, cooking on, you know, little wood coal burners and things like that. But I knew God was making this shift and transition for us from the Middle East. Michael did too. But the housing situation just wasn't coming together very quickly. So it didn't come together quickly until I said, okay, God, you know, when you gave us somewhere to live, then I guess we're supposed to be there. Well, within 6 months from that time, the Lord provided enough funds to build a home, like a volunteer house for us and other volunteers to come in and stay in. So there went that, you know, big excuse. And so since then, since last winter, a year ago this winter when we first stayed in it, we've been just in motion trying to get there. But we knew we had to wrap up the things in the Middle East well and so on. So
okay.
This is the volunteer house. It's like two-thirds of it.
I need to go to the next. Okay. So
it catches a lot of water in all the crevices.
So I'm noticing that some of the, not all the pictures, I think everything that's on it shows up. So we'll do our best here. So again, here's a closer. So this kind of shows you how sparse it is. And this would be mostly families, and they would have a plot. And then you've just way over here is another group of families possibly, or someone that bought some land.
Subsistence farming, yeah, to survive.
And again, our place and the university and out up there in that corner is where the orphans live.
Congo's considered one of the three poorest countries in the world. It kind of goes back and forth between Congo, Burundi, and Somalia, I think, as far as, you know, person-like people's
okay.
Individual level of
okay.
Earning a livelihood and so on. So this is gardens that we've started. One of the big issues up there is health. Now, during the wars, most of the population became refugees in other countries and other areas of Congo. Congo has, I don't even know now the count, but millions and millions of displaced people within their own country, considered refugees within their own country. And so big issue was as they were starting to come back now to that region, as things are getting more secure, thanks to the UN in part, the health situation was atrocious. There were no hospitals and clinics, you know, and food was basically a bunch of carbs, beans and cabbage and potatoes. It's the main diet.
That's it.
Pretty much, yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's where we're working really hard with the university, has a department, agriculture and development department. So I'm working with some of those young students.
Okay.
You can see what we're doing here. And we're raising stuff for a seed sharing ministry to help, especially
so again,
the widows and the children.
So again, what they have, and let's hang on this one for just a sec. What they have again is just like four, you named cabbage and potatoes and
beans and corn.
Beans and corn. That's it. And so
it's ground and made into a pasty bread thing.
And so we've been just bringing seeds of all sorts, and we work with the university. I'll back up so I don't forget anything. I'll name what they have. At the university, they have health sciences, education, okay, community development, which is also agronomics, the use of land, and theology. And so yes. So Lisa specifically works with some of the agronomic students and helping them to develop just more varied crops to increase diet and health and all this. And so we've got what's some of the things that you've planted?
Carrots are doing great, year-round crop.
So think they've never tasted carrots before, okay?
Yeah, they've seen a carrot. We introduced carrots too. Tomatoes are doing really good suddenly. String beans, lots and lots of squash and pumpkins and big things that will feed a lot.
Lettuce, onions.
Yeah, onions, things like that. Some real basic things that we just take for granted. You know, zucchini goes crazy and you're tired of it by the end of the season. Well, we never get tired of it.
In fact, because also what is grown? Okay, so we've got a couple experiment gardens where let's go ahead and
the weather's different. The climate. They're south of the equator, 6,000 feet up. All these things we're trying to work in, decide what to grow what in what season. So and we're sharing this with you because this is it's our main focus is spiritual development, of course, and discipleship. But we can't let people starve and and, you know, drag along, you know, into heaven, you know, so to speak. The young generation is really getting very godless, kind of very similar to what we're experiencing around the world. But after all these wars, and a lot of it was done by tribes that called themselves Christian, the kids have really lost a lot of hope. We're focusing on the young ones, I'd say, you know, like 30s down. And
for me as a male, that's all I had to work with because the others died in war.
Hit Michael's age, you know, guy, basically, you know, we have such a lack of guys between 25 and 45.
But you can see God's hand in all this because that's what we worked with before. We worked with young people. We worked at a group home for boys, and we were the youth leaders, and all of our 19 years in Israel, we invited teams, and we had teams of all various ages, but it ended up being, because a lot of people say, we're going to send you our youth. And
did a lot of discipleship teams and ministry, you know, in ministry and such. Yeah.
So, again, perfect setup. We can see the Lord's hand in this all the way, all the training. Before we were in Israel, we were for 3 months in Brazil. And in Brazil, we had, it was just evangelism all over the place. You know, 50, 100 people every day coming up for prayer and to get plugged into a church. Then we got to Israel, like, roadblock! And it's just like, you know, if you can one or two a month or a year, it was, you know, it's rough going. Again, less than 1% of the country. So we were encouraged to go to Brazil, but then eventually we were able to find avenues of evangelism, whatever, and that's when we were able to apply things from Brazil to Israel. So, very exciting.
The Lord uses such a chain in our lives, don't you think, for where we're at now, and you start looking at, you know, we weren't your typical missionaries. We, you know, we didn't even leave home until I was in my mid-30s and Mike was pushing 40.
We're Bible students, but neither one of us went to Bible school.
We had two little girls, and then we're heading out, and so, yeah. Kind of different.
So this is Norma Jana, okay? She's who runs everything when we're gone and works with us when we're there.
She's a widow.
Yes.
Children.
I want this up here because in the future when we send out updates and you need to talk to Paul afterwards, and he'll make sure that if you want to receive our updates, which come out often enough, I'll just leave it at that, but he can get you on the list, so then those updates can get forwarded because I'm not at the point yet where I can have a massive amount of things. But feel free. I think our email address will be on there. So if you want to ask questions or reply, feel free to write us back. I just can't send out a whole ton.
Communication.
Yeah, at this point.
Next to nothing up there, as you can imagine.
So you'll see Norma Jana will figure prominently in many of the slides in the future and in the past. So that's
she's becoming more than just kind of the manager and overseer there. She's like part of us, part of our family there, part of partnering. And that's how it is with a group of young guys. Michael's been discipling also and teaching English too.
And a part of the people that we work with there generally in this area are very industrious. They're hard workers. They just don't want to be given. Okay, they want to go out and work on their own. They want you to not give them something but walk beside them. And she typifies this. And she's got her sons are going to. She's a widow.
She has three sons in college, if you can imagine. And, I mean, we pay her the fairest salary we can, but we can't pay her more than the, you know, going, you know, high rate in that area. But she's just, everything is so sacrificially to educate three of her sons, and her daughter just got married last year.
Yeah.
And she has one more in high school, too. But education's not free there, not even for the little ones. Parents have to pay. And you can imagine the poorest people in the world trying to pay for their kids to go to school. There's great sacrifices made, and you're lucky if you get one kid through. And we're trying to raise the level of education for girls and women. It's really hard, so we're also part of what we do. Mike and I don't do a lot of like personal support raising at all. We mostly just connect with the church, you know, a few churches and personal friends that are partnering with us. But for once in a while, you'll hear us on our newsletters, and when we share about certain needs. And big need is schooling, like sponsorships for school, like someone to take a kid, you know, on to yearly help with their schooling, which is $180 for the whole year. plus about $12 for two uniforms, which are required. So less than $200 a year, a kid is being fully educated every year. And at the school we work with, which is the better even education. So, and most of these kids are orphans or children of widows, just so you know. So let us know if that's something you want your heart to do in a personal
Most way. Of the kids that we would ever, if we say there's a need, we would only present the ones from the that are orphans and or from
widows, yeah.
children of widows.
Otherwise, we try to help the fathers and families in other ways so they can... like with industry and helping build that type of thing so they can support their own kids through school.
Okay. Let me tell you a cool story, and that is that, okay, so now there's a group of orphans there, and just today we got...
There's 27 kids, and today I got a text that there was a young mom who was remember it's the rape capital world, who was probably raped, and she has a baby that she's young. She can't take care of this baby. She doesn't really